Okay. let's see. Glenn will be back in a moment. He's going to get a... here he is. Get a new computer.
We have to have general...
We have our council here. I'm going to go ahead and call this regular meeting of the San Luis Obispo County Planning Commissioner to order. It's Thursday, February 24th, 2011. Roll call, please, Ramona.
Commissioner Irving.
Present.
Commissioner Murphy.
Here.
Commissioner Topping.
Here.
Chairperson Christensen.
Here.
Please let it be noted that Commissioner O'Grady is absent.
Yes, and I'll be speaking about that in a little while. All right, if you'll join me for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, public comment period for items not on the agenda. I do have some speaker slips. David Webb, followed by Eric Greening. And anybody else who wants to speak at items not on the agenda, please get the speaker slip to me ASAP. David, where did he go? Oh, it's you. I'm calling your name.
Okay.
Not on the agenda.
Okay. I hope you didn't start my time already.
Sure, you're 3.5 minutes through it. No.
Yeah, I'm probably up already. this is definitely not on the agenda. It has to do with, solar in general. California Valley, I live in California Valley, and at their meetings, they want to sell their recreation lots. There's, I believe, there's about eight of them, actually. There are 47 of them, I'm not sure the number is seven. We have Kit Fox mitigation on our... listed on our properties now through the tax, and that devaluates our property. We can't sell our properties. Our properties are all devaluated. Somebody had a home for sale for $365,000, and it was offered $100,000. So that's what's happening to people out there. A lot of people are upset about it. Just realizing, used to think they were going to get jobs with solar, and now they're not going to get jobs. They'll be lucky. We'll all be lucky if we can keep our land. And I hate to use the word eminent domain, but that's what a lot of people are concerned with out there. So I thought I'd let you guys know. I think you know already, but I don't know if you know already. But it's not on the agenda this time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Webb. Eric Greening.
Thank you. I'm Eric Greening, and. I'm not quite sure what the county giving the solar companies money might mean, but I would hope that the legal people would weigh in before any action was taken on an application, if that's true. Anyway, not on the agenda, climate action planning. I'm glad that there was an event a week ago Thursday. The turnout may have been light because of the rain or the forecast, the very blustery weather that was moving in. I know I did not turn out. For a person who uses buses and feet to get around, it was not attractive for me to make the trip over the mountain to and from. I don't know if it affected the turnout. I'm sure it was a valuable exchange of ideas, information, and opinion. And I'm just wondering, whatever the turnout was, it probably was not all it might have been. And is it possible for the county to put relevant PowerPoints, surveys, questionnaires online, and maybe even a hard copy or two here and a couple of places around the county, so that people could continue to participate, whether they were physically in this building last Thursday night or not? I think we want this process to be as... cast as wide a net as possible in terms of possibilities. I know I was hearing a presentation by young people the other night at a green gravity event making the case that composting could have a very productive role in terms of greenhouse gas emissions reduction. And, you know, the more ideas we have like that coming from unexpected places, I think the stronger the ultimate plan is going to be, and the more workable, the more effective, and with the more public buy-in. So anyway, anything that can be done to keep that process out in the community, I would be very supportive. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Greening. I don't see anything else for items not on the agenda, so we'll close the public comment period and bring it back to planning staff updates.
Good morning, Madam Chair. I'm Warren Hogue from the Department of Planning and Building. I'm just going to quickly go over your schedule for the next couple of months. In March, you have your two regular meetings on the 10th and the 24th, and then a semi-regular meeting on March 31st. It's a fifth Thursday, and that meeting will be to concentrate on two substantial issues. One is the event ordinance amendments are coming back after the board has given direction that the commission requested. And then the other half of the day will be the beginning of the hearing on First Solar Topaz conditional use permit. Then you have two regular meetings in April, the 14th and the 28th, and in addition, a special meeting has been planned for April 18th, which is the Monday in this room, to allow you to spend the whole day talking about First Solar Topaz. In May, you're back to two regular meetings, the second and fourth Thursdays. At this point, no special meetings are planned, and same for June. So that's the upcoming schedule. The TDC ordinance amendments that you had reviewed in January will be going to the board. I believe it's May 1st. We'll confirm that for you if you're interested in following that hearing. Other than that, I can't think of anything else. I'll look around, as I usually do at other staff, to see if they look like they want to contribute to staff updates, but I'm not getting any feedback. So that's it for now.
Did you say March 24th for events?
No. I said March 31st, which is a fifth Thursday, and it's in this room.
Sure.
Warren, where on the calendar is the Shandon community plan?
You're talking about Planning Commission calendar, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, we have Shandon beginning its first hearing on March 10th. We have most of the day on March 24th for Shandon. And then that's the extent of the scheduling at this. No. And then we have time on May 12th. And we can see how that project progresses and see if there's a need to dock it more time. But those are the dates we've reserved so far.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else of interest to the commission?
Okay. Oh, sorry, Ken. Any question?
I'm sorry I missed the study session on the climate action plan. That's coming in the summer, is it?
Yeah, we don't have a date docketed yet, but my understanding from long-range planning is they hope to bring that back to your commission sometime in the summer.
Speaking to the issue of outreach on the climate action plan, I don't know whether this is already in the staff's program, but there's something called SurveyMonkey, which is very cheap online survey process. It costs $300 a year, and you can design surveys that gain input from people. It's very simple. You just hit the little buttons, and you can design a simple questionnaire, so it doesn't take much time, and you can get a pretty decent response. And I just wanted to suggest that they consider that as one method of outreach.
I will certainly pass that along to Chuck Stevenson and long-range planning. We're familiar with SurveyMonkey. We have used it in other circumstances, and that's a good suggestion.
Okay. We don't have anything on our consent agenda, so we move into our hearings. We do have an item that has been requested for continuance. It's item number 3, and with the Commission's consent, I'd like to go ahead and take that continuance request up first before we get on to items 1 and then item 2. Do we have a staff person that's shepherding this through? What happened to Mr. McKenzie?
I was looking for Mr. McKenzie, but and I saw him earlier, but I don't see him. The intent is to allow your commission to concentrate on SunPower today, and the staff is requesting that you continue this to March 24th.
And I have to just say I'm supportive of the idea of continuing it because I don't think that we'll get to it, so I don't want to have people waiting around to talk about it.
Correct.
Does the commission have any other questions or any concerns? All right. Do I hear a motion to continue this item to March 24th?
I move that we continue the hearing on the Twisleman CUP reclamation plan to March 24th.
Can I get a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Opposed? Nope. All right. We are going to continue the Twisleman CUP reclamation plan item to March 24th. Thank you very much. Okay. Then we go back to item 1. Before, I'll have Ramona introduce it.
Hearing to consider a request by California Regional Building Committee, Templeton Congregation of Jehovah Witnesses Incorporated, for a conditional use permit. County file number DRC 2010-00006A. I'm sorry, I can't read the letters, they're so little. Supervisorial District 1, Holly Phipps, Project Manager.
Okay, and before Holly starts, do we have any ex parte on this item? Okay, thank you. Holly.
Good morning, Madam Chairs and members of the Planning Commission. Holly Phipps, Planning Staff. This is a request before you today by Templeton Congregation of Jehovah Witnesses and Company for a conditional use permit to allow the construction of an approximate 4,000 square foot religious facility that would include an auditorium, office areas, libraries, utility room, restrooms, and 53 on-site parking spaces. The project also includes a request to construct an approximate 1,000 square foot parsonage with attached garage. The project will result in approximately 1.07 acres of disturbance. The proposed project is located on the northwest corner of Bennett Way and Vineyard Drive. It is located in the community of Templeton. Taking a quick look at the vicinity map, we have two existing churches within. Here we have a quick look at the elevations. This one is viewed from the east and south. A church will have a design style that is residential in nature. The elevation as shown from the west and north. And here I have a picture, the larger picture here is looking north. The site is currently vacant. And here we can see the single-family residence to the back here. And here is the church I was talking about earlier. And the smaller picture, it would be looking south with Bennett Way and Vineyard to the very front of the parcel. We also have a single-family house on the west side. Staff is requesting to modify Condition 3 on page 118 of the staff report. A neighbor located to the west of the project was concerned about his single-family residence that he owns and the lack of privacy that the open fence would open fence design would provide. So staff revised the condition to ensure that a berm is located around all the parking areas and that there will be adequate trees to help screen the adjacent development. And after talking with the applicant and agent, we wanted to tweak bullet number 3, where it says a wrought iron fence with a minimum setback of 8 feet from the property line on the east and south with the landscaping provided in front of the fence. So he would like to add that there because on the other property lines, the fence will be a little bit closer to the property line. So I can read that entirely into the record.
Why don't we get wait till we get to that?
Okay.
To the conditions rather than ahead.
With that, staff is recommending approval of the conditional use permit based on the changes submitted into record, based on the findings in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B. And that concludes staff's presentation.
Okay. Do we have any questions before we go to public comment? Nope. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and open up to public comment. First, we have an applicant or an applicant's representative who's going to speak today. And if you could get us a speaker slip, that'd be great. After you're finished, if you could get a speaker slip. How long do you think you're going to need?
I'll try to get it 5 to 7.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay. Morning, Madam Chair and members of the Planning Commission. My name is Ken Wilson, a project manager for the project on behalf of the Templeton Congregation of Jehovah's Witnesses. So I'd like to just go over the project with you, if you could. A few things of what we how we came up with our design and our project. So let's see here.
I apologize. The computer that it makes the presentations isn't operating.
Oh.
I emailed tech support, so.
No slides. Well, we'll just
Does it work
we'll wing
for the
it.
Overhead.
I'm not sure. I'll try that one. The document camera, that one?
Yeah.
That was something showing up.
All right, so there's this real long delay, but I can't get rid of the ribbons to make it big so everybody can see.
We're okay.
It's good.
It's legible.
Okay,
so, all right, so I can continue. All right, as was mentioned by Holly, the project's 4,400-square-foot building and a parsonage, and we are not able to construct the parsonage right now because we don't have a unit of water. We need 2 units of Templeton water, so until we get that second unit, we can't build that additional parsonage. So we'd like to get approval of it at this time, and so in the future we can go ahead and apply just for a building permit to get that when we get that unit of water. Just a little history on the project. The site was purchased in 1991 for the purpose of putting in a kingdom hall there. We did get a conditional use permit approved in 1994 with basically the same configuration as you see, but that we decided not to pursue it at that time, so it expired. So now we're reapplying and we'd like to go forward with the project. In 2007, also, the county did some street widening and picked up some extra right-of-way there, so our property shrunk just a little bit, but we were still able to have enough for our project. As far as the site use and traffic, we submitted some information about that to show that our peak traffic hours don't coincide with, in other words, not at 8 o'clock in the morning and 5 in the evening. It's different times, so there shouldn't be a lot of conflict. And there's about 50 vehicles per meeting on Sunday. And we propose at this time two different meetings on Sunday, so two sets of 50 vehicles coming in and out. And then during the week, about 15 vehicles on the average that use the facility. So we did ask for a couple of waivers from the Templeton design plan. Look like in the neighborhood. Is that going to work? Maybe Holly could. Okay, so if that's what's, I'm not sure if that's what's up there is on there, but the picture that in front of Holly's computer, okay, is if you see that, that's kind of what we're thinking about. In San Luis Obispo, there's a kingdom hall there, and it has shielded. It has a berm and landscaping, and it helps to shield the lights from going out away from the parking lot. And so it also promotes a little more rural atmosphere when those cars are parking on the lot rather than on the street. And it also minimizes risks for families. We have families with children and elderly ones. If they would have to walk in from the street in versus being inside the parking lot, that's much more advantageous for them. So, and then I did mention, of course, the parking lot screening, which we're going to put in on all four sides of the project, and by means of a landscape berm, and the increased 2 or 3 foot tall landscaping and trees. Now, there was a mention from the neighbor about the lights, and so on the west side, on the north side, it's a residential, zone residential. That'll be probably residential for a long time. If the commission feels that a wall there would be better, that's fine. It could be done on the west side as well. However, the west side is zoned office professional, so, you know, long term, whether or not a wall or a fence would be there, that's kind of an aesthetic question that you might want to consider. But either way, you know, we'll go with whatever you recommend. Using the fence that we have, wrought iron fence with pilasters, looks very nice, and you can see through it, but with the landscaping, it should block those lights going into the neighbor's property. We'll try to make sure those plants are high enough to shield that. But again, it's up to if your commission decides to go with a wall on that side, then that'll be fine. So as far as another item with the lighting, the Templeton Area Group recommended 12-foot tall lights. We did check in the area of the Twin Cities Hospital and Posada Lane around there, and also Trader Joe's, and there are, and I'm not sure if we can get to those pictures of the lights, but most of them are about 16 to 20 feet high. 12 feet is a little unusual. It's a little lower. There was one office that had 12-foot lights, so if it's recommended to keep us down to 12, we may have to add a light or two to make sure we get the amount of coverage on the parking lot, because we have some meetings at nighttime on Tuesday and Thursday, and safety is a concern. You know, we want to make sure everyone can see where they're going, and children and elderly ones, we don't want them to get hurt, so adequate lighting is very important for our site. And there is a diagram we got from a lighting company to show that this diagram, and I'm not sure if it's going to come up on your screen, but it's a design for the lighting that we proposed at 16 foot tall, and it doesn't allow any foot candles to go across the property line. It's designed so that when the lighting hits the property line, it's at zero foot candles, or no lightings, and they're downward cast lighting too. So, and then we're also including some bollard lights around the site, as recommended by the Templeton Area Group. They're smaller, 5 foot tall lights like a pole with a light on top, and they don't provide a lot of lighting, but a little extra as you're walking, which is helpful, and they're aesthetically nice too, nice to look at. And the lights are all controlled by timers, so they'll shut off when the building's not in use. So that's those are all the only things that we ask for a little leeway on. The monument sign is going to be 4 feet tall with down lighting as well, instead of the lighting going out, so it'll prevent light from hitting cars driving by. So that's pretty much it. Thank you we do have a few pictures of some of our other Kingdom Halls in the area. The last few pictures show that we try to make sure that our buildings are kept up maintenance-wise with landscaping and taken care of properly, so that it's a benefit to the community and it looks good. So thank you for the opportunity to speak to you on this.
Thank you. Okay, I do have a speaker slip, Gail Crick. And then if anybody else would like to speak on this item, please get a speaker slip to me. And if the applicant could fill out a speaker slip, that'd be great. There, where are they? Back in the back. Ms. Crick.
Good morning. Thank you for allowing me to speak. I live exactly across the street on the corner of Bennett and Vineyard. My name is Gail Crick, C-R-I-C-K, and I live at 1010 Bennett Way. I would prefer...
5 minutes. 9:37. Yeah. I think we're going to be back to our meeting here, if everybody would like to take their seats. Where's Glenn? Glenn? Wherever you are. You want to go get him? Is he out there talking?
I don't know. I can't see him, but I'll go look.
Okay. Do we need Glenn? Do we need Jim? I told you it was going to be one of those days. All right. Well, let's continue on with our discussion. We can at least get...